appreciate that song. How many know this? The morning you got saved, you didn't have to be on the altar. God came to where you were at. Amen. And I sure am glad that He can reach farther back, farther down than we can reach up. And God sure is good. Appreciate the good song and all the good singing this morning. And again, appreciate you being here in the house of God. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18 this morning. Luke chapter 18. And, you know, as she was singing that song, I remember the morning I got saved and what God really did for me. And growing up in church, many of you, maybe one of the dearest songs to someone who knows the Lord is "Just As I Am." Because it's probably been the invitation song to more church services than anything else. And I sure am glad, praise God, that He'll take you just as you are this morning. If you don't know Him as your Savior, you don't have to clean up. You don't have to do better. You just got to come like you are today. And He'll save you. Luke chapter 18, beginning verse number 31. The Bible said, "Then He took unto Him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. They shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again." Notice verse 34, "And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Now these are the 12. You with me? These are not people that are on the backside of the desert somewhere. These are the 12, Brother Johnny, that were with Him every day, right? And so the Bible goes on in verse 35. "It came to pass that as He was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight." Notice this in verse 42, "And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight." And notice this next phrase, "Thy faith has saved thee." Right. Then verse 43, "And immediately he received his sight." He didn't just receive his sight and go do his own thing. The Bible said, "And followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Now, I want to preach on this thought today, what the blind man saw that we don't. Right. You ever thought about that? What the blind man saw that we don't. Right. Now, I would think, makes sense to us, right, that the longer that someone walks with Jesus, the more that their faith should increase. That's not unreasonable, right? I mean, the longer we walk with Him, Brother Danny, the more we see that He is God, and the more that we see that He is, as the choir saying, He still reigns. It should increase our faith. But that's not usually the case. Matter of fact, a lot of times we have less faith as we walk with God, in air quotes, the longer we've been saved than we did when we got saved. Now, it shouldn't be that way. But when we first get saved, we'll believe God. We'll read something the Bible says. I believe that. And then the longer we're saved, we try to have the religious mindset of, well, that was then, this is now, and God does not do those things today. And we have an intellectual faith, and God, You must prove these things to me, right? And so our theme this year is Let's Find Out, and it really deals with that thing called faith. If God said it in His Word, He'll still do it. It's up to us whether or not we'll trust Him, right? So this is what should happen. The longer we walk with the Lord, the more faith we should have. I mean, we ought to be able to read the Word, and God says this, and we'll go, okay, well, I believe that. Let's see it happen, right? Let's find out. A lot of times we get our eyes on the external circumstances and the problems of life, and we'll think about what God hasn't done in our life that we expected Him to, and we'll say, well, where's God in all this? And I just don't understand why God would let this happen, and I just don't know if I can trust God like I once did. And that is really where the disciples were. And in some cases, the faith that we have actually decreases. We depend more on us. We depend more on our religious mindset, more on our religious lingo. We depend on other people. We depend on entities. We depend on experts, right? The fact is, if you take these disciples, they had enough faith to follow Jesus, right? Remember the early days? He said, follow me. What'd they do? They dropped their nets, they followed Him. They stopped their life that they had and they started following Jesus. But here we are, some years later, that they should, being around Him every day, Brother Shane, they should have said, we've seen what He's done, we can trust Him with anything, right? We should have more faith instead of less faith. But that's not what happened. And so exercise the faith to trust Him is what they did, but they don't understand Him. And that's where a lot of us are today, right? We trusted Jesus, Brother Jerry, for salvation, but now we don't feel like we can trust Him with our everyday life.
Right.
Now let me say it this way. If we have gotten wrong, Brother Bart, this thing of salvation, if we're not right according to the Bible, right? If the Lord is not accurate in His Word as to how we get saved, there's no hope in the afterlife. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So if you're here today and you're a Christian, you believe that. You're not thinking about your baptism. You're not thinking about, you know, whatever it is, your good outweighs your bad. That's not what, if you're truly born again, you're trusting in who Jesus is. Can we agree there? Well, if we were wrong there, Brother Russell, and we missed heaven, now I don't believe we are, right? I believe the Bible. If I can trust Him with that, I should be able to trust Him with my power bill.
That's right. That's good.
I should be able to trust Him that He's going to put some groceries on the table.
Right.
I should be able to trust Him when the work thing doesn't work out like I think it ought to. Right? I mean, if we're wrong about the big thing here, that if we are wrong, then hell will be our home according to the Bible, right? We're not wrong, by the way. I'm not sowing doubt. I'm saying, if that's not, then why can't I trust Him with everything else? So the disciples said, we trust You enough to follow You, but since Your plan does not make sense in our eyes, we just don't know if we can fully trust You. That's where we are, isn't it? And so in this account of the life of these disciples, we see that they really don't understand who Christ is. They thought that He came back to set everything on earth in order the way they thought it should be. They didn't understand He came the first time to die on the cross for the salvation of mankind. They didn't get all that. The Scripture said it. He said it, but they still didn't get it. Right? So a blind man was actually seeing what the disciples couldn't see. He saw something they didn't understand. He recognized Jesus for who He was. And so this morning he saw the life-changing Christ and what He could do instead of seeing what this man could not do. And so what this blind man saw, I'll give you these three things this morning. Number one, I want you to see the cluelessness of His followers. They didn't have it, man. Listen to me. They did not get it. It wasn't, they were oblivious. They were just walking around with Jesus. He's performing miracles. And the important thing, the cross, they still didn't get it. Verse 31, the Bible said He took unto Him the 12, the inner circle, the ones that should know Him best. You put yourself in those 12. Because if we're not careful, that's where we end up. We don't get Him, amen. We don't understand it. They wanted to follow Jesus because they thought it benefited them, and they didn't see the big plan. So in verse 31, He took unto the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written, right, by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Amen. So it's written down. They knew it. And he said, now it's time. Now it's going to take place. So verse 32, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, shall be mocked, spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. We just celebrated that resurrection, did we not? So here, the cluelessness was this. To what? His prophecy. He's telling them right here, everything that he would do is written down. He said here, is written by the prophets in verse 31, concerning the Son of Man, shall be accomplished. If he wrote it down, listen to me, he's bound by his word. If it's written down, he's bound by his word. He cannot lie. He cannot go against his word. Says, I need to hear that still small voice. Listen to me. If your still small voice does not line up with the written word, don't believe the still small voice. See, they did not understand his prophecy. It was written by the prophets. If they knew the word, they should have known Christ. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. What are we supposed to study? The word. Not my feelings. Doesn't tell me to study science, even though science is important. Doesn't tell me to study history, although that's important. Doesn't tell me to watch the news. It tells me study to show thyself approved. I will get more out of studying the Word of God than anything else. But here's the problem. It doesn't say that we're to learn necessarily from something. Study means I have to do something. Doesn't really say to read. Study. There's a difference between reading and study. Now, I believe you ought to read the Bible, right? I think you ought to read it. But you better study it. Study means I'm a student. And if I'm a student, that means I'm digging in there and finding out line upon line, precept upon precept, what God wants me to know, what He wants to reveal to me in His Word. If they knew the Word, they should know Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said this, the Bible said in John, right? I am the, He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You better know the Word. Hey, listen, the devil can mess with your emotions. He can mess with your thoughts. He can mess with your feelings. But my friend, you better know the Word. And not just memorize the Word. I'm talking about intimately knowing Jesus Christ. So if they knew Him, if they understood the Word, if they'd studied the Word, they would know that Jesus came the first time to die. And so if they knew the Word, they should know Christ. If you want to know Jesus, friend, may I say, you're not going to learn it watching on TV. You're not going to learn Him by watching YouTube. You're going to know Jesus, intimately know Him when you know His Word. We have His completed Word. And many still don't understand. All the time people say, well, I don't understand this. Well, let me say this. Won't you focus on what you do understand? I try to read the Bible, and I just can't get parts of it. Well, worry about the parts you can get. And then God may reveal the parts you can't get. Amen? Listen, I don't know everything there is to know about everything. But there are certain subjects I want to know more. So you know what I do? I dig. I study, right? You do the same thing. There are things you're interested in. And you dig. You study. You find out more. Well, if we want to know Jesus like we say we do, we're going to dig and study to show ourselves approved. They did not understand. They were clueless when it came to His prophecy. But then they were clueless when it came to His path. But the Bible said in verse 32, for He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated, spitted on, and they shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again. Well, they didn't get any of that, did they? Remember when Jesus told the disciples intimately, when it's just them, what was going to happen? Peter said, no, sir, I'll not let that happen. He said, all of you are going to leave me. And Peter said, if all of them leave you, not me, I'll die with you, Jesus. In other words, as many times as Jesus had explained to them, He didn't tell them one time. He didn't tell them two. He told them numerous times what His path was. He told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? Why? Because he was interfering with his path. He was trying to get in the way of what God... Listen to me, church. He was trying to get in the way of what God was wanting to do. He came to die. And he came to die for you and he came to die for me. That was why he came the first time. He didn't come to feed the thousands. He didn't come necessarily to heal this blind man. His path was from Bethlehem to the cross. And I'm glad, hallelujah, that he helped people along the way. But he came for the purpose of glorifying the Father. And to glorify the Father meant he had to go to the cross. They only saw how he could benefit their earthly walk. Over and over. They would follow Jesus as long as they were getting something out of it, right? Oh, you fed me? Fed the thousands? We're with you, right? We're no different today. As long as Jesus is handing out the bread, praise God, we sit down at the dinner table. But we don't understand the big plan sometimes. His path. But then they didn't understand his passion. When I mean passion, I mean his death. In verse 33, the Bible said that they shall scourge him, put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. They didn't get that, right? Remember, he was crucified. They weren't there. He was buried. They weren't there. They went to the tomb. He wasn't there. They didn't get it. They were in the upper room. He came in. They still didn't get it. John 21, after he appeared to them, they said, hey, we're going down the lake and go fishing. They saw him on the shore. Remember what? Good old Peter. Peter's going to lead that group of us that always questioned. Right? He'll probably have his own little classroom in heaven one day. We're all going to be in there and he's going to say, let me tell you this, right? But here it is, Peter, he was a leader, by the way. He went fishing, the rest of them went with him. Then Jesus is over there on the shore, he's cooking fish. And boy, you think that Peter would say, you know what, Lord, I get it now. But Jesus asked him, he said, you love me? And Peter said, well, you know I do, Lord. He said, well, feed my lambs. Do you love me? Y'all, you know I do, Lord. Feed my sheep. Three times he asked him. And still, Peter didn't get it, did he? You think Peter say, you know what, Lord, I love you. And I don't know what all this feeding the lambs and feeding the sheep stuff means, but if you want me to do it. But you know what he said? What about him? Brother Bart, it wasn't, hey, Lord, I see it. Thank you for dying for me. You know what he did? What about that guy? Are we any different today? Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to do this. Yeah, but what about them? Right? I don't want to do that. What about them? Just if you get it, you'll understand his passion, that he died for you. We were studying about it in Sunday school in 1 Corinthians. He says this, that we're bought with a price. He died for you. He died for your salvation. He purchased you with his own blood. And now you and I get to serve him. And so the clueless, don't be a clueless follower. Don't be one of those people that you're always wondering what God's trying to do in this. You know what? I want to tell you, and I'm no different. I'm not standing up here telling you sometimes I don't go, God, I don't get this. But you ever heard this saying, ignorance is bliss? Sometimes it's kind of good not to know everything, isn't it? You'll have a whole lot happier life if you'll quit trying to figure out what God's doing and just follow Him. Just follow Him, right? Hey, He doesn't have to explain anything to me. I don't get a boat in it, by the way. Amen. He doesn't come and say, listen, what do you think we ought to do about this? He already knows. If you'll just follow Him, you'll be a whole lot happier in life. So there's the cluelessness of His Father. But then number two is the comprehension of the frail. I can see the disciples, can't you? They got their Sunday best on. It's like a lot of preachers' fellowships I go to. We're going to call preachers from the floor. I can name most of the ones going to preach. Whoever the big names are in the group, right? They might throw one of the little guys in just to, well, we call preachers from the floor. But there are some there, you're just like, yeah, he's preaching, right? Brother Johnny, I've been in people strutting around like Danny Roosters because they're big preachers. Got to talk about how many we're running and what our ministry's doing and where all we've preached, right? That's probably the disciples. Jesus walking there, well, right? We got to look the part even if we're not the part. I know the old saying, dress for the job you want, not the one you have, but that doesn't apply on this one. So here they are in verse 35. It came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. See, here's the thing. You see in this scripture, this comprehension of this frail guy, he's blind. And by the way, it's not, you got to understand, then is not like today. The blind guy was an outcast. He was no good to society or to this world. You say, that's not fair. I agree with you, but that's the way it was. Right? He just, all he could do is sit there and beg. He didn't have a job. He couldn't work. He had no means of getting anything. He just had to sit there and beg. He had to depend on other people to take care of his needs. You with me? And so, in this scripture, in verse 35, 36, 37, you see an opportunity. You know what you have this morning? You have an opportunity. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how big your sin or how small your sin. It doesn't matter what your record looks like. You with me? He says in verse 38, or verse 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Can I just say something this morning? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By the way, he's still passing by. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know your condition. I don't know what's in your past. I don't know what the devil's drug up in your life. I don't know. You may have all this stuff going on. But this morning, he's still passing by. And so this man's opportunity was passing him by if he didn't do something about it. Maybe this morning, the Lord's speaking to your heart. May I say that today you have opportunity, but don't let the opportunity pass you by. Jesus was aware of this certain man, this one man. All the multitude, he knew that one man. And this morning, with all these people here, it doesn't matter. God knows your need. The morning I got saved, listen, there were hundreds sitting there. And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to me. And he spoke to others. But he spoke to me. And he said, you need to get saved. You need to get your life. It wasn't a preacher talking that morning. It was God's Holy Spirit touching my heart, telling me you need to get things right with me this morning. Now, friend, if that is the opportunity that's taking place this morning, don't let it pass by. Don't say no, because this may be the opportunity. This would be his opportunity for his need to be greatest need. I ain't talking about he got an extra piece of bread, begging. I'm not talking about somebody let him down to his house. I'm not talking about somebody paid his power bill. His greatest need that morning was that he was blind and nobody could help him. There wasn't a doctor that could help him. There wasn't family members. There wasn't, no one could help him but Jesus Christ. But here's the problem. There was an obstacle. See, the Bible said in verse 35, a certain blind man. Then in verse 36, hearing the multitude. Verse 38, he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Right. Now notice this in verse 39, and they which went before him rebuked him. That he should hold his peace. Now I like that next word, but. I can see him, can't you? No. It's not time for an altar call. Go back to your seat. Right? No. It's not time to get right with God. It's not time for God to help you. You have to come at this point in time. And really, since you're blind, don't bother him. This is for the good religious people. Well, Jesus said this, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That he that was whole need not a physician.
Right.
See, church, listen to me. Church is not just for the saved folk.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
It's for those that are seeking.
Yes, sir.
And if you're here this morning, you're seeking. There's something inside of you going, I've got an obstacle. Right. There's something separating me from God. And that's what it was. He could not see Jesus because something separated him from seeing Jesus. And this morning, you may have an obstacle. You may not be physically blind, but you lack faith. You may be here today and you've got sin in your life and you say, there's no way God can fix that. I just feel so terrible and I feel like nobody can help me and nobody loves me. Well, may I say that don't let the devil tell you that, because there is a God in heaven that loves you and wants to save you and wants to help you with your life. There is someone who can remove the obstacles in your life, but there always will be somebody that is trying to separate you from God. And sometimes, listen to me, sometimes it's religious people. Sometimes it's church folk. You say, oh, well, that shouldn't be. There's a lot of things shouldn't be. Don't let people get in your way of getting to Jesus. I just know a lot of Christians that are hypocrites. Hey, I do too. I know a lot of lost people's hypocrites. I know a lot of businessmen that are hypocrites.
Right.
I just know a bunch of hypocrites, don't you? Aren't you glad that God saves hypocrites? Aren't you? You say, well, I am preacher, but can I be honest with you? I'm looking, and you're looking, at hypocrites. You can pat yourself on the back all you want to and say, I would never be a hypocrite. Sure you would. The word hypocrite means actor.
That's right.
That's what it means. You're telling me in your whole life you've not acted like something you were?
Right.
Listen, there's people sitting in our churches that are acting like Christians that just aren't. There's some people that are actually Christians that are acting worldly.
Amen.
Like they're not Christians.
Amen.
But they are.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's good.
Well, I'll just be honest with people. Well, there's your problem. See, we won't pat ourselves on the back and talk about how transparent we are and how real we are.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I promise you, if we go digging in your closet, we'll find some stuff. You go digging in mine, you're going to find some stuff. So before we pat ourselves on our back talking about how real we are, we just need to realize we're just a bunch of blind folks looking for Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So here they are. This man had some obstacles in his life. Well, you say, well, you know what? I would go to church if it wasn't for. I would serve God if it wasn't for. I would do this if it was not for. You know what that is? Obstacle. This man had two big ones. He was blind. He couldn't see where Jesus was. You with me? Hang with me. Some of you, so I can see it in your face, some of you tune me out. You know what his other obstacle was? People. You know who was not his obstacle? Jesus.
Yes, right.
So he couldn't come to where Jesus was, could he? He couldn't see him. He had people in the way. You know what he did? Just cried out more.
Yes. Yes,
amen. See, you got to figure out your weakness and your obstacle and realize you can't get to where Jesus is. All you can do is cry out and say, come to me. Amen. Hey, come to me. Come to me, Jesus. I can't go to where you are, but I'm helpless. I can't get there. Nobody can help me but you. And so I'm just going to keep crying out till you come to where I'm at. Hallelujah. That's called salvation. Brother Jimmy, that's called help this morning. And if you're going to let the obstacles in your life keep you from Jesus Christ, I promise you this. You're never going to have peace. You're never going to have the joy, happiness, whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying that whatever the obstacles are in your life, you need to look past them and realize there's something better on the other side of the obstacle. Then the observation. Notice what he said. Verse 38, he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's interesting. A blind man was the one who saw who Jesus really was. Not the ones that had been around him all this time. The blind man. He called him son of David. Then he said, have mercy on me. That's all you got to do is recognize him for who he is. And call on him and say, have mercy on me. Do you see him or do you see your obstacle? That's what, brother, that's where we are. Listen to me, church. I'm talking to you too, not just people. If you're here today and you don't know him as your Savior, I'm talking to you. But I'm talking to you if you do know him as your Savior. You want me to tell you why you can't have the abundant Christian life, why you just can't quote unquote break through? Because all you see is the trees. All you see is obstacles in your life. I just gotta keep moving around those obstacles. I've got to fix it. I've got to take control. I've got to do this. They're obstacles. Stop looking at them. Get your eyes on him. Well, I just know our country. I just know our leaders. I just know our churches. I just know Christians. I just know the economy. Obstacles. Keep looking at it. Keep getting your eyes on it. You know what's going to happen? Discouragement. He didn't look at the things in his way. He looked at what could help him. And the one that could help him was Jesus Christ. You know what? I can't help you this morning. I love you, but I can't help you. Brother Gary, my power is very limited. A lot of times, Brother Matt, I can't help myself. But I'm trying to direct you to the one that whatever your problem is, whatever your need is, He can help you. This blind man saw what they didn't. He's frail. Watch this. When I'm weak, he's strong. When you're strong, you make him weak. Now, I understand this. He ain't losing power. I'm saying he's weak in your life. Because you're not letting him... You're not letting him have control. When you try to do it, you're pretty much saying, God, I don't need your help on this one. And you'll realize just how limited you are. And so the observation, this blind man saw who he really was. Then I'll finish with this. Hang with me. Verse 42, 43. You see the consummation or the completion of faith. Now, I want to be real careful here, okay? So notice, let me start in verse 40. So the Bible said Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him. So do you notice here a couple things? One, someone else was involved in the process. You know who that is? You and me. Somebody brought him to Jesus. In other words, God used a tool not to save the man, but a tool to bring him from where he was to Jesus, right? Okay, let's keep going. Here's what he said. He said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Here's what he's saying. What's wrong with you? He made him acknowledge his condition. You're not ever going to get things right with God, whether it be salvation, sanctification, until you recognize where you really are. You're not going to get saved until you realize you're a sinner. Well, I don't really want to call myself that. I may not be the best person, but I'm not the worst. Here's the problem. Time out. Ready? Quit comparing yourself to everybody else. I'm not a liar. Okay. I'm not a cheat. All right. I'm not a murderer. You got any unforgiveness in there? Well, I will say that that ain't good. What about bitterness?
That's right.
Remember all these hypocritical Christians you can't stand? I don't think that's going to match up with the standard God sets for getting into heaven. I just got this one bad quality, right? I check good on all the big stuff, but here's some little stuff, right? I don't tell any big lies, but the little one, half truth, right? The sin of omission is bad too, by the way,
right?
We'll say something like this. Well, if he's a Christian, right? If she's a Christian, okay. So what's the standard? Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. That's what he said. Perfection. Well, nobody's perfect. Oh, there was one. See what he did at Calvary. He substituted himself for you so that you could be perfect through him. But you ain't going to get there by yourself, right? You're not going to get there because you got dunked. You're not going to get there because you filled out a car. You're going to get there because you realize, just like this man, Jesus said, what do you want me to do? He said, that I may receive my sight. Well, you don't need to receive your sight if you're not blind. He didn't say, if you could figure out some way for me to get my sight back that I had a hand in, right? That if you could give me a plan where I could work and get my sight back, right? No, he said, that I may receive my sight. This morning he's asking you, what do you need? Till you're... If you're here today and you're not a Christian, until you're willing to admit, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
it's not.
Sir.
It's not. See, we've so clouded the waters. Just do better. Be a better person. Try harder. No. This man, didn't matter how hard he tried to see, he could not see. Doesn't matter how hard you try to get better, you're still not going to be good enough to get into heaven without Jesus Christ. So he asked him this question for him. Jesus already knew his problem, didn't he?
Right,
see, this morning you said, well, if I came to the altar and told the Lord I was a sinner, then he might think less of me. Can I help? Time out. He already knows who you are. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you're playing the game, right, you got this facade. You're playing the game, and if I go to the altar this morning and get things right, God, what are the church going to do? Hey, they probably already know, but I know God knows. Right? You're not hiding anything from Him. And if you'll just get some stuff right with Him, you don't have to worry about anybody else. Just a couple of days ago, April 21st, was my spiritual birthday. Boy, Brother Eddie, I remember the morning I got saved. Listen to me. I'm gonna give you a little... quick testimony. You're looking at a guy that grew up in church. Brother Shane went to a youth meeting, made a little profession of faith, Went in the back room, said the prayer they told me to say, got my Bible signed, got dunked. Here's the problem. Nothing ever changed.
That's right. Amen.
I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in my salvation if nothing ever changed.
That's right. Amen.
Because when this guy got his sight back, he didn't go blind again.
That's right. Come on.
Grew up in church. I was 25 years old. Teaching in the senior adult Sunday school class. Deacon in the church. Sang in the choir. Buddy, I went that morning. That man of God preached like I never heard. I'm not kidding. He preached for 3 hours.
Bless.
You know what happened today if you preached for 3 hours? They'd throw you in the mental hospital. 12:10. Went down the altar. Said, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you. Got up, went back to my seat. Sat down. The Holy Ghost said, that didn't do it.
Go ahead. That's right.
I went back down the altar. And I said, Lord, I don't know what's wrong.
That's right.
But I don't have peace.
That's right.
Something's not right.
Come on.
And I'm not getting off this altar till we get it right.
Amen.
I don't care if I have to stay all day. They can close down the church. They can sweep around. I ain't getting up till things are right. And you know what the devil was saying the whole way home after I got saved that morning? What you going to tell your home church? Because this wasn't at my home church. What you going to tell your home church? You're a deacon. You're a Sunday school teacher. What are they going to think about you? And the Holy Ghost said, don't worry, I got it covered.
Amen.
See, you quit worrying about what everybody thinks about you. Let God take care of all that. You just worry about pleasing Him.
Right.
And so this morning, wherever you are, you've got to admit, if you've been a member of this church for 20 years, if you're not saved, quit worrying about what people think and do business with God. So the, in this consummation of faith, Jesus says, what will thou I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now watch what Jesus said unto him. Receive thy sight. Just like that. But notice what he says here. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God.
Right.
Now, did you notice this? He said, thy faith has saved thee.
Yes, sir. Right.
Not a prayer.
Right.
Not your baptism, your faith.
Oh, right.
But did you notice this? Watch. I want you to notice the order of things. His faith came before his sight. And what we want after we get saved, Brother Matt, is we want God to show us stuff so we can have faith in Him. Right? Am I right? We want God to prove some stuff to us before we're going to trust Him. Friend, that ain't how it works. See, the big problem you probably got in your life right now is you've not learned to trust God. You've walked by sight, not by faith, most of your life because, let's be honest, we've had it pretty good. Our life in America, for the most part, we have. And so, when something bad happens, sickness, loss of a job, whatever it is, we go, I just don't understand it. Lord, I don't understand it. Because we've not had to walk by faith, we've walked by sight.
Yes, sir. You're right.
So Jesus said this, your faith is what got you your sight.
Amen.
Now this morning, quickly, I know, I got a watch, right? Hang with me. So, his faith preceded his sight, right? You want to see what God's doing? Trust Him first. So in this consummation or completion of faith, he has, first of all, the new vision. Now he has hope. He saw something he had never seen before. He's seen a lot of stuff he'd never seen before. But see, his faith came before his sight. He didn't see the things that he was missing until he had faith.
Right.
But then there was the new vision. There was also the new sight. What I mean by that, he saw things he'd never seen before. He saw light. Think about this. Here's a man that had never seen light. Everything was always dark.
Right.
And see, when you get saved, before all you ever saw was dark.
Right.
When you get saved, you see light.
Right.
You see things like you've never seen before, right? If you still have the same perception that you had before you quote-unquote got saved, you didn't really get it. Because now our focus and our eyes should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice this, he also had the new life. He said in verse 43, the Bible said, immediately he received his sight. And what did he do next? Followed him. But Jerry, I, and again, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the fruit inspector. But I do believe the Bible. And the Bible is very clear that old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. When the Lord really saves somebody, he changes them. And if your life isn't different after you got saved, then before you got saved, all you did was said a little prayer. Because when you truly get born again, the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of you, and you're not the same person. Right? You're not the same person. The old man, the new man. Now, we still have flesh, but there's the holiness of God living inside of us if we're truly born again. You may sin. I'm not saying we don't ever sin. But we're not the same person we used to be. See, I think we've gotten, but Jeff, we've gotten so wanting numbers that we'll just come say this prayer. Come on, come on, just say the prayer. Not about the prayer, it's about the faith.
Yes, sir.
When you have the faith, when you truly trust God for salvation, he does a work in you. He changes you. He changes the inner man. Right? So here's a guy that was blind. He was sitting by the roadside begging. And then he met Jesus, and Jesus said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to recognize your problem. And then when he recognized his problem, that he was blind, he fixed his problem. And this man was so grateful, the Bible said he followed him, watch, glorifying God. Now that's what your life's supposed to be after you get saved. A life that glorifies God. And when they saw it, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, here's a man that was blind. He saw something the disciples who walked with Jesus, Brother Danny, he walked with him all these years. They didn't get it. Here's a guy that couldn't physically see him, but the presence and the power of God changed his life. That's what we need today. Listen. I don't want religion. But Junior, it'd be real easy, okay? Listen to me. It'd be real easy to say, you know what? We're living in the last days. But Kenneth, people not getting saved like you used to. People ain't coming to church like you used to. We can't have God's power like we used to. That's where a lot of folks are. And as a pastor, it'd be real easy to look at our church and go, you know what? Well, we're probably running more than most churches around here, right? We got a bus ministry. We got a children's ministry. Choir sounds good. That ain't us around here, right? We're not satisfied with status quo. Man, I want the kids right here. I want them to experience what I've experienced in my life, what some of you have. I want them to know what the power of God's like. I want them to know, listen, and some of you that has never been in revival, where God changes lives, right? That's what I want to see, because I know our church needs it. I know our community needs it. I don't want the status quo. I don't want to just come to church and, well, sing the songs, preach a message, go home, eat your lunch, come back, do it again at 5. We're going to do that. Let's just stay home.
Come on, preach on.
I want some folks just saying, hey, I want to see Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. I don't want to just hear your message, preacher. I want you to get a hold to God and be with God before you ever stand up there. And I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to pray, and I want to get a hold of God before I ever walk in here. And we want to come in here corporately together, and we want to see what God can do. We want to find out. That's what I want. Is that what you want? But John, I want to see people get saved every week. I want to see lives transformed. I want to see some young people surrendering their life to Jesus and going to the mission field and starting churches. I don't want to just, let's just do what we can till Jesus comes. Let's just hang out till Jesus comes. Go through the motions. Fooey on that garbage. That's what most people want. I want to see him, don't you? I want to see what God can do in these last days before he comes back. Used to be a day when God's people wanted that. I want to see. Here's a blind man that saw what all his disciples didn't see. Now, you may not be blind, but you can have faith like this man and see what God can do in your life. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads. No one's looking around. No one's looking around. I want to ask you this morning. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. You don't understand all the terminology. You're not getting all of it. But in your heart, you're saying, you know what, preacher? Something doesn't feel right. And I don't know exactly what it is, but something is wrong. Maybe you can't explain it. Maybe you can. Maybe you know this morning that if you died today, you wouldn't go to heaven. But maybe you just can't put your finger on it. I want to pray for you this morning. Would you slip your hand up, preacher? Something in my heart was telling me something's not right right now. I want you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up? You can put it right back down. Is there one? You're here this morning. You don't know for sure you'd go to heaven if you died. Will you slip your hand up? I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. Maybe this morning your faith is wavering. You say, I have trusted God, but now I've got my eyes off of Him. Will you come? Many are on the altar. Well, you won't be by yourself. If you want to know how you can know if you'd spend eternity in heaven, please come. You just mind God today. Mind God. You're still praying, you come. Whatever your need, if you'll come, we'd love to help you. Most of all, God wants to help you. God wants to help you this morning. But you got to recognize your problem. She gets done with this verse. I want us to sing it together, just as I am. Well, Jeff, you'll pull that up. Just as I am. Here we go. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. It is such a great reminder that God wants you just like you are this morning. I appreciate you being here. Hope you'll make plans.